The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam, 3rd Canto, Chapter Number 5, Text Number 32, given by His Grace, Sriman Sankarshan Dasathikari, recorded on December 22, 2014, in Melbourne, Australia.
Om Namo Bhagavate. Te Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Tamasa. Bhuta Sukshma Adhi Yata Kam Lingam Atmanah Tamaso Bhuta Sukshma Yata Kam Lingam Atmanah Tamaso Bhuta Sukshma Adhir Yata Kang Lingam Atmanah. Tamasa, from the mode of passion. Bhuta Sukshma Adi, subtle sense objects. Yata, from which Kam, and the sky, Lingam, symbolic representation, Atmana, of the Supreme Soul. It's interesting here, usually Tama means the mode of ignorance, but here Tamasa means the mode of passion. Interesting phenomenon of today's verse. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. The sky is a product of sound, and sound is the transformation of egoistic passion. In other words, the sky is the symbolic representation of the Supreme Soul. Purport. In the Vedic hymns, it is said, Etasmad Atmana Akasha Sambhuta. The sky is the symbolic representation of the Supreme Soul. And those who are egoistic in passion and ignorance cannot conceive of the personality of Godhead. For them, the sky is the symbolic representation of the Supreme Soul.
Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Jata Padakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavam Sri Shri Rupam Sagra Jatam Sahagana Ragana Tanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadaitam Sabadutam Bhadijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Ladita Shri Vishakan Vitamscha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Vrishtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Sarasvati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nivishesha Shunyavadi Pashtangrijishatarine.
So, some people worship the sky. They see the sky as some great thing. They worship the nature, they worship the sun. So this is some idea of worshiping something greater than oneself. So for them, the sky is the symbolic representation of the Supreme Soul. Of course, we also use that word sky, the spiritual sky. This material sky, they may worship it as a representation of the Supreme Soul, but it's only temporary. How long does it last? It lasts for the duration of one exhalation of Mahavishnu. When Mahavishnu inhales, this whole material sky is finished. You see? So even though the material sky is very great from a material viewpoint, we're not very much interested in this material sky. The materialists, they're trying to build rockets so they can travel as far as possible throughout this material sky. But we understand this is futile, because even if you could go all the way to Brahmaloka by some mechanical means, that planet will be finished also when Mahavishnu inhales. So why make this big deal of trying to explore the material sky with all these, you know, billions of dollars on the space program? You see, doesn't make any sense. Our program is easy journey to other planets. Why endeavor with such great difficulty just to go to the moon, or so-called go to the moon, or to Mars? Why big endeavor? You see, one can easily penetrate the coverings of the material universe. We have a much better spaceship than NASA has been able to come up with, you see, or the Russians have been able to come up with. Our spaceship is a very, very wonderful spaceship. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram. Fly the friendly skies of Hare Krishna. You see? Prabhupada's the captain. We have so many nice flight attendants. The nicest food. Not that garbage food like they serve on the airplane, but prasadam. We have prasadam. And not all the nonsense movies. We have wonderful pastimes of Krishna. We get to, a devotee gets to go to the movie. Some people like movies. Really, many people, everyone likes the movies practically. But we have much better movies going on than our heart. One can actually turn on the movies within the heart by becoming advanced in Krishna consciousness. You can actually see the pastimes of Krishna going on in your heart when you become advanced in Krishna consciousness. The wonderful leelas of Krishna, the amazing pastimes. They're so wonderful, they're so relishable. Prabhupada used to sit in the garden in the afternoon in Los Angeles and have devotees read Krishna book, and Prabhupada just laughed. He was so happy just to hear Krishna's pastimes, especially killing the demons. Prabhupada really liked that. He would just laugh and laugh and laugh. He loved it. He was just ecstasy. And if you've ever been to our LA temple, then you see there's a above the garden, there's a building next door, and there's a second floor in the building. So devotees used to come up there. All the devotees would crowd by the windows and the upstairs and look down into the garden and see Prabhupada with his Krishna book reading. All the devotees, and one devotee said, one of the sannyasis, "Oh, just go away, you're disturbing Prabhupada." Prabhupada said, when the next day they went there, Prabhupada said, "Where are all the devotees?" Prabhupada was very happy. All the devotees are watching this pastime of Prabhupada hearing the Krishna book in the garden. So Prabhupada didn't want to be sent away, you see. So we have so many wonderful pastimes. It's Krishna's pastimes, Prabhupada's pastime. So many wonderful activities going on in our society. So many exciting things happening all over the world. So many festivals, so many projects. So many wonderful lectures, so many wonderful kirtans, so many wonderful loving exchanges between the devotees, you see. It's just a wonderful thing going on here, the Krishna consciousness movement, this transcendental airplane. ISKCON is a transcendental airplane powered by the Maha Mantra. That's the jet engine on the ISKCON airplane, Hare Krishna Mantra, you see, powering that airplane. To penetrate this material sky and enter into the vast spiritual sky. Actually, it's described like them. Brahmanda Brahmite Konna Bhagyavan Jeev Guru Krishna Prasade Pai Bhakti Lata Bij. When one comes in contact with a bona fide spiritual master, the spiritual master plants the Bhakti Lata Bij, the seed of the creeper devotion within your heart. And then by regularly cultivating that seed, that creeper, by hearing and chanting, And by avoiding illicit sex, meat eating, intoxication, and gambling, avoiding the nama parads, you see, then that wonderful little seed, a little creeper comes out, and that creeper just, it crosses the entire material sky. It breaks through the coverings of the universe, which are incredibly thick coverings of the universe. The first covering is as thick as the entire inside of the universe. The second one is 10 times more than that. The third one is 10 times more than that. The fourth one is 10 times more than that, etc. So it's an incredibly thick shell. Inconceivably thick shell. But this creeper of devotion, it has the power to break through all the coverings, cross the vast spiritual sky, traverse all the way to the topmost planet in the spiritual sky, Krishna Loka, where it enwraps itself around the lotus feet of Radha and Krishna, and then the full-blown fruit of love of God becomes manifest. Prema Phal, the fruit of prema, becomes manifest, and then the devotee can relish the ecstasy of pure love of God. You see, that's really the only bliss. Outside of pure love of God, there is no happiness. We sometimes imagine there is happiness, you see, in this world. But actually, that's false. There is no happiness here. This is simply a place of misery. It's a dungeon of the demons. It's simply a place of misery. One may imagine he's happy, but just like when I got arrested for distributing Bhakti Guided magazine, they took me to put me in jail, distributing the heinous crime and distributing BTGs. I was lucky they gave me a private cell. I had my own private cell. But I was noticed some of the prisoners who had been around for a while, they were given special privileges that I hadn't earned. They could wander freely up and down the cell block. I was confined in my cell, but they could wander freely up and down the cell block. You know, they would chat with everybody who was still confined to their cells. They were called the trustees, you see. So in this material world, if somebody gets a little facility, a little more facility than others, and oh, now I'm happy. Now I can roam up and down the cell block. The other prisoners are locked in their cells, but I can roam. So I get, you know, and now I have a little more money, I have a better, nicer car, you know, I have a better looking wife or whatever it may be. And now I think I'm happy because I'm one up on the other people, you see. But it's all just, it's crazy. It's like everybody's in the jail. What's the big deal? Whether you can roam freely up and down the cell block. What's the big deal? You think you're happy now because you're a trustee within the jail? You know, so our happiness is like them. I think I have some, now I have some special privileges, facilities. But it's all a hellish thing. Actually, I wrote one essay when I was in the jail. It was called, "Which Side of the Bars Are You On?" Because I was chanting Hare Krishna, and I realized the whole material, there's what we say in America, men up in Australia, behind bars. He's behind bars. He's in jail. So who's actually behind the bars? I was seeing the material world. I was here on this side. The material world is behind the bars, and here I am chanting Hare Krishna. They were actually in jail, and I was not. That was my vision when I was locked up in the cell. The whole material world was in the jail. They were behind the bars, and I was liberated because I was chanting Hare Krishna. Finally, my temple president had mercy and bailed me out. But but it was a wonderful experience, actually, the experience being arrested for Prabhupada. You know. I know when I was with Prabhupada in Pittsburgh in 1972, at that time the devotees in Australia were getting arrested for doing Sankirtan. And they were wondering whether they should spend money to hire an attorney. Prabhupada told them, just go on chanting Hare Krishna in the jail. He didn't, you know, really encourage them like that. He gave an example of a cow. The cow is, the farmer said, today I'm taking you to the market and I'm selling you. And the cow was completely undisturbed. The farmer said, aren't you an anxiety that I'm selling? He said, no. The cow said, no, my business is to give milk, to give it to you or somebody else. What's the difference? So in this way, whether we chant Hare Krishna on the street or we chant it in the jail, Prabhupada said it's the same thing. So this way he didn't tell the devotees not to be in anxiety. Just go on chanting Hare Krishna in the jail or on the street. It's all the same. Just go on chanting Hare Krishna. Like the cow giving milk to this farmer or that farmer. What's the difference? So this way a devotee is impervious to the fluctuations of the material nature. He's simply fixed in Krishna consciousness. Whatever happens, no problem. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram. I may be young and healthy. I may be old and sick, I may leave my body. It doesn't matter, it's all the same thing. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram. It's just an external thing, it's not me. Whether I have a young, healthy body or an old, sick body on my deathbed, it's not me. It's just some movie going on. Some drama of the material nature going on. It has nothing to do with my actual identity in the spiritual world, you see. So in this way, the devotee is completely blissful. He fixes himself simply in his relationship with Guru, with Krishna, with Vaishnavas. In this way, he's happy in all situations. He joyfully absorbs himself in the mellows of Krishna consciousness. Because really, that's the only happiness. Even if you go all the way to Brahma Loka, Brahma Bhuvana Loka, Punarvartinarjuna, Mam Upechita Kaunteya, Punarjanmana Vidyate. No matter where you may go in this vast material existence, you won't find even a pinch of actual happiness. There is no actual happiness here. But if you simply connect with Krishna, then there's unlimited sweetness. There's so much nectar, more than we can even assimilate or digest. There's this unlimited nectar. Tunde tandamani riteng bitanate tandavali lamdeye karna krada kadamani gatiyate kanarvide braspiham cheta pangana sangani jazaya vindaryana gajam najane janita kriyad viramita krishnaiti varnadvai. Rupa Goswami says, I do not know how much nectar these two syllables Krishna have produced. Because when I vibrate Krishna, there's so much nectar oozing out of Krishna that my mouth just can't hold it all. I got to have millions of mouths to at least get a little bit more of that nectar. And then when Krishna vibrations enter the holes of my ears, oh, there's so much nectar. I need billions and trillions of ears to capture that nectar. And then when Krishna dances in the courtyard of my heart, my mind is completely conquered. I'm stunned. I'm paralyzed in transcendental ecstasy. The yogis, they're struggling, you see. Yato yato nishchalati manaschanchalamashtaram. From whatever and wherever the mind wanders due to its flickering and unsteady nature, one must certainly withdraw it and bring it back under the control of the self. The yogis are struggling. Yeah, get that little rascal mind and keep it fixed on transcendence, you see. But for the one who is tasting the nectar of the name, there's no struggle at all. His mind is completely conquered, you see. It's not a struggle at all because he's completely overwhelmed by the nectar of the name. So this chanting Hare Krishna is the most important thing. We have to become addicted to the name. Right now, we don't always experience it as sweet. Sometimes it's poison for us in our neophyte stage. Therefore, Rupa Goswami advises, Sat Krishna Nama Chaitari Satapya Vidya Pato Patasya Rasana Sanarochi Kanu Kent Vandanananinang Kaira Shai Vajushta Svavikrama Dvamiti Tadgalamula Hantri. The holy name, character, and activities of Krishna are all transcendentally sweet, just like sugar candy. although the tongue of one who is afflicted with the jaundice of avidya, ignorance, cannot taste anything sweet, it is simply wonderful that by carefully chanting these sweet names every day, a natural relish awakens within his tongue and his disease is gradually destroyed at the root. So, here we are struggling to chant our rounds, to do this and that, you know, battling it out with our laziness, our craziness, our lust, anger, greed, madness, illusion, and envy. But if we patiently, diligently, steadily engage in this purificatory process, this remedial process, this healing process, this transformational process, if we steadily stick to it through thick and thin, through in all sorts of circumstances, then even though now often the name is like poison for us, just like the jaundiced patient, the sugar candy tastes very bitter. But by that steadily chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, as Rupa Goswami says, the natural relish will awaken within the tongue. Hare Krishna is naturally unlimitedly sweet. So it's just a matter of associating with that sweet name as a healing process, as a medicinal process. And then gradually, the name will be so sweet that nothing within the three worlds could ever draw your mind away from Krishna. You see? We'll become totally attached to Krishna. That's called asakti. That's the beginning of pure love of God. It's described in Prabhupada's books. Asakti. When you're absolutely, totally attached to Krishna, there's not even the slightest tinge of attachment to anything except for Krishna. So this state we want to come to, where we're totally, totally enamored by Krishna. We have no other attraction to anything other than to Krishna. This will be the perfection of our consciousness. This will be liberation. Even while in this material world, that person who is totally attached to Krishna, he's not influenced, he's not touched by the material nature. So somehow or other, we have to become attached to Krishna. So, it's not difficult. Krishna is so adorable, actually. His qualities, his activities, his names, his features, his associates, everything about him is so wonderful. It's so attractive. He's so beautiful. I remember I asked one little girl, I said, what do you like the most about Krishna? And she said, he's so beautiful. It's a fact, Krishna is no one more beautiful than Krishna. He's the perfection of beauty. Now we're enamored by so many material beauties, is it? But if we can just learn to appreciate the beauty of Krishna, how gorgeous is Krishna? Every aspect of Krishna is unlimitedly beautiful. Everything about Krishna, you see. So we have to, how do we do that? Where does it start? Rupa Goswami says, Jivadho, beginning with your tongue, Atakshi Krishna Namadi, Nabhavadgrayam Indriyai, Sevon Mukehi Jivadho, Svayameva Spadatyadaha. The transcendental name, qualities, pastimes, entourage, etc., of the Supreme Personality of Godhead are not appreciable by a person who is materially contaminated. But for one who has taken up the devotional service of the Lord, beginning with the tongue, that person becomes transcendentalized, spiritualized, he becomes Krishnaized. And then with his purified senses, he can relish like anything the name, fame, forms, pastimes of the Lord. This is a very significant verse. Before I joined the movement, I was a smart aleck puffed up character. And I used to meet the devotees on the campus at University of California in Berkeley. And I liked the chanting, I liked the prasadam, but I didn't understand the philosophy. So I would argue against the philosophy. I told one devotee, actually at Chitsukananda, now my godbrother, he's in Mexico, but I told Chitsukananda Das Brahmachari, I said, "You Hare Krishnas, you say that your senses are imperfect. So how do you know that Krishna is God? And this is your, with your imperfect senses, you were understanding that Krishna is God." And he didn't know what to say. He didn't know what to say. But then later on, I happily found a defeat for my argument. Atakshi Krishna Namadi, you see. With your blunt, material, contaminated senses, you cannot understand in Krishna's position, you see. But when your senses become purified by being engaged in devotional service, you see. So actually, we understand Krishna as God with purified senses, purified mind, purified intelligence. We look at the deities, our eyes are purified, you see. If you look at the deities, you say, "Oh, here is Krishna, here is God." You're not seeing with him, you're seeing with purified eyes. Purified by transcendental knowledge, purified by the holy name, purified by every aspect of Krishna consciousness. So, yes, the senses are imperfect, but our senses are becoming perfected by this process. So in this way, Rupa Goswami completely smashed my argument, my stupid argument that I was very proud of. So in this way, we had to all become humble and bow down to these great acharyas, understanding that they really know what's going on and we don't. They really know what's going on and we do not. We have to take their version, and by taking their version, accepting it with faith, following their instructions, we will realize God directly. We will realize God. That day will come, we will see Krishna. As Prabhupada ordered me, he said, "Now you just qualify yourself to see Krishna face to face." That day will come for all of us when we can actually see Krishna. If we stick to this process diligently, faithfully, enthusiastically, and patiently, that day will come for every one of us. We can revive our original relationship with Krishna. Now we have to faithfully execute the rules and regulations because we're far from that stage. That's called sadhana bhakti. Faithfully execute the rules and regulations of bhakti yoga, and that day will come. If we do so, when we become completely qualified to regain our original identities in Krishna's pastimes. So now I can ask if there's any questions. Okay, we have some. Oh, a whole stack of questions here. Oh my God. Okay. Many times, most of the times, when I'm engaged in devotional service, I feel if I could have done better. That's wonderful. We should always feel we can do better. Never feel complacent. "Oh yeah, I'm perfectly executing bhakti now." No, I should always feel I could have done better. I could have done better. Always feel. That sometimes brings a kind of guilt. No, you should. That's honesty. I'm not a pure devotee. I'm contaminated by the modes of nature. So, you know, but everything I'm doing is contaminated. So I just have to keep, you know, gradually getting rid of that contamination. So it's good that you feel you're not doing, it wasn't done as good as it could have been done. Always try to improve. Even in the material world, take an artist, a painter, or a singer, or a dancer, or a poet. They're always trying to refine their art. Or a businessman, try to make more money. Any person, even people in the mode of passion, you know, they're trying to do better. A tamasic person, no, they don't care. But if even a person in the mode of passion is trying to, you know, expand their business, trying to write better songs, make nicer paintings, etc., etc. So what to speak of a devotee? Devotee should always think, how I can do better. I am not doing good enough. How I can dress the deities even more beautifully. How I can sing even more with even more feelings of devotion. how I can manage the temple even more expertly. In this way, always thinking how to improve, how to improve, how to improve. I find it hard to open up to most of the devotees. Therefore, I keep most of the things to myself. Is it all right? No. You have to learn how to. These are two of the loving exchanges, to reveal your heart to the devotees and to open your heart when they reveal their heart to you, to be open-hearted to them when they want to reveal their hearts to you. You need to learn, not necessarily with every devotee, you see, but at least with some devotees, you have to be able to reveal your heart to some devotees. It's embarrassing when newer devotees respect me just because I've spent more time among devotees. How should I respond? A devotee, Prabhupada is a classic example. He was in Los Angeles, my godbrother Narayan Prabhu. He's expert at building things. So he saw a photograph of the throne of the king of Jaipur. So he decided to make a throne for Prabhupada in Los Angeles, a really regal Vyasasan. And before that, just some little simple asana, nothing elaborate in ISKCON. So when Prabhupada saw that, he started crying. He said, "I'm not fit to sit on that, but I will do so on behalf of my spiritual master." So in this way, a devotee doesn't, even if he's honored and respected, he doesn't think that I'm worthy of this. He thinks, actually, I'm not qualified to be respected and honored in this way, but I'm doing so on behalf of my spiritual master, of the whole Krishna consciousness process. He never thinks he's worthy of being of any honor or respect. How to develop pure chanting? Well, you just have to practice. Try to, as Rupa Goswami says, carefully chant these sweet names every day. Note the word carefully. That's the key. Carefully chant every day. And then you will become a pure chanter in that way. One of the practical issues I am facing in the office is forced to attend too many Christmas parties in the pubs. Sometimes I escape saying working from home or taking off. Sometimes I'm not able to say this. Sometimes the manager is getting offensive. Can I go to the sort of parties and just have a soft drink and escape? Yeah, if you really have to do it just to keep your position, you can do that sometime. But yeah, just take some soft drink, but non-caffeinated, not Coca-Cola. Yeah, sometimes you can do a little bit. I mean, I was an award-winning salesman for MCI Corporation many years ago, and I had to go to the award dinners because I'd won the award, and I had to go accept my award at the award dinner. And they have, you know, a big hotel with catered dinner, all the fence. So my wife would just pack me a prasadam and take my little brown bag of prasadam. Everybody's sitting there, I put a prasadam, I'd eat prasadam while they're eating all their sinful food during the award dinner. When I am engaged in devotional service, I don't like it having no taste for service, but I can't live without devotional service. How to happily engage ourselves in devotional service. Okay, here I am doing devotional service right now. I'm a neophyte. I don't have any taste for it, but I want to have taste for it, so how can I be happy? Well, I know that someday I will have taste. Even though right now it's just like an austerity for me, I don't feel like doing this, but I want to be able to relish it. So I'm happy knowing that even though now I don't have any taste, someday I will if I just keep doing this, you see. And that way I'm happy, looking forward to that day when I'm actually relishing the mellows of bhakti. Because of my emotions and mind, mental activities, I feel strongly that I may slip away. Kindly give me some practical tips. Well, you need to take shelter of a bona fide spiritual master. If you haven't done that, and if you do have one, you have to fully take shelter of your spiritual master. I'm always doing that. I don't feel I'm very advanced devotee. I'm just always praying to Prabhupada. Actually, Prabhupada didn't show the example himself. He said, in Boston, he said, "I'm always praying that I will not fall into Maya." So even if Prabhupada did that, what's our position? You see, we have to humbly present ourselves before a guru, before Param Guru, for Krishna, Lord Chaitanya, and beg their mercy to protect us. And then if we always in that mood, humbly begging for their protection, then we'll be safe. When you were a prisoner, they let you keep the beads. Actually, my beads were back at the temple. I had chanted my rounds that morning. I didn't have any beads. So when we chant Gayatri, we learn how to count on our fingers up to 10. So I was chanting my rounds like that, and that way we chant Gayatri. You do 10 times 10, and then do 8 more, and you got one round. But then how do you count your rounds? I don't have any counter beads. But I had, those days we used to give out candy on Sankirtan. Prabhupada said we could offer candy to the deities, and we give it out, give them a piece of candy, and then you get a donation and give a book. That was our Sankirtan technique in those days. And so I had this candy. I used the candy as counter beads on the bunk bed in the cell. Every time I check one round, I would put a candy on the other side of the bunk. That's how I counted my... Use the candy as my counter beads. And then I ate it because I didn't want to eat the boga, in the jail. I took the candy as my only prasadam. For 36 hours, I lived on that candy. So how to do devotional service without any expectation of results? Especially while preaching to new people. Actually, we do want results, but we leave that up to Krishna. We want the result that people will come to Krishna consciousness and become devotees. We want that result. But if you're too pushy, trying to squeeze a result out of a situation, you won't be successful. We with a desire to actually help this person awake, sincere desire that this person will become Krishna conscious, we just pour out the mercy as much as possible and leave the result up to Krishna. We cannot manipulate the result. That's the thing. We want the result to be there, but it will only come by the grace of Krishna. So we do our level best to do our share, to do our part of it, to give them a wonderful example of what it means to be a devotee, and give them in the most wonderful, attractive, sweet, and powerful way what are the teachings of Krishna consciousness. And we leave it up to Krishna for the rest. Sometimes you might accidentally hear or read something on the internet that is criticizing ISKCON or the leaders in ISKCON, and this can shake one's faith. How do you keep yourself protected and keep your faith strong after hearing such things? Talk to a senior devotee who can tell you how to defeat what are the counter arguments. It's important. Because all the garbage, all the anti-ISKCON garbage that's out there can all be defeated very easily by someone who really understands what is our Krishna consciousness movement, what are the actual teachings of Srila Prabhupada. If your mind is disturbed by something you heard, talk to a senior devotee who can actually show you the fallacy of those arguments. It is mentioned in the scriptures how demoniac children come from the darkest regions of the universe when their parents conceive them in mood of sense enjoyment. But how a soul can be demoniac before it enters the body? Is it not that the soul is pure and uncontaminated, comes from the bodily, is pure and contamination comes from bodily coverage? No. We entered this material world. Even before we got our first material body, we were contaminated by the desire to lord it over. That's why we got material bodies to begin with. My point is completely pure. He's not going to take another material body. We're all coming here and taking birth after birth after birth due to a desire to lord it over the material nature. So we're all contaminated here. There's just various degrees of contamination, that's all. Mahaprabhu has advised us to chant in a humble state of... Let's see if there's any questions. We have we have some people listening on the internet today. If anybody out there has a question, they can put it in the chat window. Okay. Mahaprabhu has advised us to chant in a humble state of mind, Chanadda Pisanichina, and give respects to everyone. How to respect those who are not following the principles of Sadhana Bhakti properly? Well, first of all, are you properly doing everything? Before you get too puffed up. Yeah. And we're all struggling. Let's face the facts. We're all struggling. So they may be... So in this way, we have to be a little humble. If someone is having a harder time than we should be kind upon them. So help your little brother. How can we bring steadiness in our life? Chant those 16 rounds every day and strictly follow the regulative principles. Work together in the family of devotees under your local leaders here. Be a part of the spiritual family of ISKCON. And in this way, that will help you to become steady and bring your senses under control. What you've explained is the state of highest bliss, as I understand, can only be achieved when Krishna bestows his mercy. What do we do until then? Krishna is bestowing his mercy at every minute. The problem is we're not taking full advantage of that mercy. You think Krishna is not giving his mercy right now? Krishna is giving unlimited mercy right now, but it's like, instead of getting soaked with his mercy, we have the umbrella to keep ourselves dry. Prabhupada said, it's like the mercy is like torrents of rain in the monsoon season of India. So the mercy of the Lord is flowing, but we have our umbrellas out. We're trying to stay aloof from that mercy. That's the problem. We have to open ourselves up to that mercy. That's the key. And because I don't experience that now, I get attracted to my previous conditioned activities. Well, it's really good, actually it's mentioned in the Srimad Bhagavatam purport, to regret one's previous activities. Remember how much you were suffering? It's actually good. Think back, not to be in some illusion that you're actually happy before you came to Krishna consciousness. It's very good to remember how miserable you actually were. That can help you to detach yourself. In other words, you can think back on it, how really miserable it actually was. That's helpful to detach you from those things. How much you were suffering before you came to Krishna consciousness. Sometimes one may think he was happy, but that's false. You weren't happy before you came. You didn't have any happiness before you came to Krishna consciousness. Why your mind is flowing back to those things? It's foolish if it is. You have to realize, intelligently realize, any attachment for previous conditioned activity is sheer ignorance. Because there was no happiness there. Maybe some illusory happiness, but illusory happiness is the worst poison of all. So in this way, one has to intelligently understand things as they are. The intelligence is like the mother, and the mind is like the child. So if you have the proper intelligence, which it comes from hearing from realized devotees, it comes from hearing from Srila Prabhupada, in this way, by hearing from realized souls, then you gain the proper understandings that allow you to think properly instead of think improperly. In other words, the mind should never be independent of the intelligence. The mind should always be going on within the scope of the intelligence. The proper intelligence, which is purified intelligence based on Vedic wisdom. So always think in terms of the Vedic wisdom. Always think in terms of the teachings of Srila Prabhupada. When you see your mind thinking differently, you have to do something about it. What does Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakura say? He said, in the morning you beat your mind with shoes 100 times. In the evening, with a broomstick, beat your mind with shoes. Why does he say that? Because the mind is a rascal. The mind will think, oh yeah, I remember that girlfriend. She was really good looking. And you have to beat your mind with shoes. You have to beat your mind with shoes. And realize, what is this illusory happiness? There's nothing there. The real happiness is to reestablish my loving relationship with Krishna. The source of all existence, the source of my existence, the source of everything, the supreme energizer of everything. Nothing can function without Krishna's energy empowering it. Everything goes on by his energy. So why am I not reconnecting with Krishna? It doesn't make any sense. I have to just put all of my energy into reconnecting with Krishna. That's called devotional service. That's called bhakti yoga. That has to be our contemplation, our meditation. That has to be our whole life. If we focus in this way, then those past memories of, we'll just see, whoa, I was really suffering. Wow. It was really, really miserable. Thank God I found this movement. Thank God I found Krishna consciousness. So, let's see if any... Here we have a question coming in from... I don't know where this one's from. Huh? All right, we'll just... Can I do one more question? It's five after. I got to take permission. I'm already over time. Should I stop now or I can do one more question? In some temples, it's very heavy. I get chastised by the temple president. If I go 1 minute over time. I'm really heavily chastised.
What's the question?
Huh? One question's okay?
What's
huh?
the question?
What is the... All right, we'll see if it's worth answering or not. Here's the question. Somebody, I don't know where the country they're from. How long should we learn about Krishna consciousness before we ask a guru for guidance? Well, they just asked a guru for guidance. Well, I think you're probably saying it long enough. No, actually, one can immediately acquire from any devotee. Actually, all the devotees in ISKCON, they're all gurus. All of our devotees are gurus. They're siksha gurus. Anyone who's preaching Krishna consciousness, even Sarasvati, she was told to tell everyone Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. We're all gurus here. This is a movement of gurus, you see. We're all teachers or preachers of Krishna consciousness. So you should immediately ask questions from the devotees. They're all your gurus, those who are preaching the message of Krishna. So we'll stop here, and we thank you all very much for your participation in this glorious movement and in this glorious center of ISKCON Melbourne. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.